Welcome to the Sanctus NYC Message Podcast. We are the young adult community of the Brooklyn Tabernacle, built on the transforming power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Join us today as we look to God to lead us into the fullness of the life that he has for us.
So this is probably one of the most relevant, common questions that I get. When you're a young adult, when you're going into college, coming out of college, trying to figure out grad school, career, all of the different options in front of you, it is, what is God's will for my life? How do I figure it out? Does God even really have a will for my life? Does he have a will for just certain things, but then other things I can just kind of do my own thing, and he just wants me to make principle-based decisions, but as long as I'm just being virtuous, I'm good? Or does he actually have a specific will for where my life goes from here? Across the board. I remember growing up in church, the thought of God's will for my life was like a horrifying thing. To think, what if it is something that I don't like and I don't get to choose it? God chose it. Like, okay, I hear he loves me, but maybe he doesn't love me in the kind of way that I want to be loved with what I want to do with my life. And so I remember, has anybody ever been there where you're just like, you don't even want to ask God what his will is for your life because you're very afraid of what you might find out. Like, I remember when I was in middle school and you couldn't tell me I wasn't going to be the greatest quarterback who'd ever played. I remember I got to really get ready for when I'm in the league. So I would watch interviews of star players and I'd be like, all right, so that's how I answer questions. Once I'm like, I'm already like imagining myself being interviewed on TV and I was horrible. And you could not tell me I was not gonna be in the NFL. And I remember I would almost try to like manipulate God where I'd be like, all right, God, so we know I'm gonna be in the NFL, but where am I gonna get drafted? You know, and I would watch some games with like my favorite teams and I'd be like, all right, God, so if that team wins, then that must, like, I'm going to play for them one day, right? But if that team wins, my life could go a really different direction here. So, and I would like just, I was in the seventh grade. I was in math class and I'm already thinking about 20 years down the road, what my life would look like. And honestly, I was like tormented by it. Like the fear of my life not going in a direction that seemed good to me was horrifying. So a lot of us tonight, you may be in a spot where you have a peace in your heart that I really do feel like I'm walking in the purposes of God for my life. If so, that's amazing. And even in that, we have to see who Jesus is to us so that we remain there. Because life is filled with so many twists and turns. There's so many new seasons. You know, we've got to really, it's a word for us even if you do feel that. But maybe a lot of us here tonight are questioning, like, I have no idea where my life is going to go. And maybe I am in that spot where the thought of even really involving God, it's like I'm kind of controlling this right now and I have what I want and I really want it to work out and I kind of want to pray. I'm asking God to help, but I'm not asking him if it's even his will for me because I'm not interested if it's not. And so I want to open a verse for us tonight. This is a great verse just for us to get started looking at 2025. Let's put up the first one. In Ephesians 5, 15, 17, it says this: be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. So first, that word foolish, I was talking to somebody the other day and we were looking at a verse where it was saying like something is foolish and they're like, they started like almost getting offended at the Bible because they felt like the Bible was kind of calling them foolish. And I saw them like almost starting to like square up to the Bible that was just sitting on the desk. Like, but I described when the Bible uses the word fool, this is what it means. It means somebody who lives as though there isn't a God. To be a fool is to live like there is no God and therefore you and I are the God of our own lives. Some of us may say, I believe in Jesus. I believe Jesus is God. I see what he's done in my life. But when you look at your life and a lot of the practices and things that you're trying to control and hold on to and force your way through your life, you're living as though there isn't a God who's actually in charge, who's actually your God. And you could say, well, I believe in God, but you're living like a fool. What this is warning how we don't live as fools is where it says, understand what the Lord's will is. In some other translations, the nuance here, it's not just generally understand, it's figure out. It's actively pursue understanding as to what God's will is for your life. So to live as a fool is to act like God isn't there. But what this is equating to that is you not pursuing understanding of what God's will is for your life is still acting like he's not even there. You just trying to do your own thing and include God into your plans, you're not actually seeing this God who came to save you from yourself, who says, I am the good shepherd. You're a sheep. You don't know what's best for your life. I saved you so that I could take your life and lead it into my beautiful, perfect purposes for your life. God has a will for your life. How, to what extent? We're going to talk a lot about that these next 2 weeks. Today is going to be talking about God's will for our life. Next one is going to be how to live a life led by the Spirit. It's going to be really good. But I want to point to one other verse really quick. So in John 4:34, it says this. Jesus says, no, John 4:34. You know what? I'll read it from my phone. So John 4:34 says this, and if you have a Bible and you have really quick thumbs, you can pull it up. It says, then Jesus explained, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work. So essentially what Jesus is saying here is nourishment. What is that a picture of? It's like, obviously he's not talking about physical food. When we think of nourishment, it's talking about what is needed to make your body healthy. Obviously the main angle he's taking here, it's not about health of your body. Really what it's pointing to is it's the health of your soul. The health of your soul, it gets nourishment from one thing. Jesus is saying in this, living out God's will for your life. Avoiding resisting God's will for your life is cutting your soul off from the nourishment which makes you healthy and whole. Fighting against God's will is literally fighting against life itself. And interestingly, also the Greek word in this, of the word will, it has this really interesting connotation. The word will, what it is saying is it is God's choice offer to you, which you can accept or reject. It's God's best offer for you. So the will of God is this nourishing thing for my soul, which to the extent that I resist it, I'm unhealthy and suffering and cut off from my life source. But to the extent that I'm living in it, I'm living in what I was made for. I'm coming alive. I'm healthy. And I'm living in God's best offer for my life. God loves you so much. He has a will for your life. And this is the thing. He is not looking at any person here as like, well, I really love that person, but you're like, in this room, like you're probably the 96th person that I love the most out of everybody here. So it's like, you got like a decent plan, but the best one was for that guy over there. It's like, no, what this is saying is the will of God for your life, what he's offering you today for who you are, for how he made you, it is the best possible option. It's the best way forward. It is the path of life. That's what's available to us in Jesus. So we're going to talk about two components of what is God's will. This is the thing that we need to live in to be healthy and whole. The first is God's revealed will. What does that mean? When you open up the Bible, you see endless commands and clear instructions over what God's plan for flourishing in your life looks like. God has universally made clear, in order for you to walk in my will, you follow me, you love people, turn from sin, follow me, live in righteousness, serve, pour out your life, be in the body of Christ, use your gifting to see it built up. Essentially, to sum all of it up, the revealed will of God, all of the commands in the Bible that show us his will for how we're supposed to live, it's to live like Jesus. God's will for your life is to live like Jesus. A lot of us are so much more concerned about what the circumstances in our life is going to look like. It's like, I'm just waiting. When is God's will for my life really going to start? Like, I hate this. This is horrible. I hate my job. I hate where I work. I'm so sick of this. When is the next opportunity going to come? When am I going to get the relationship? When is this thing going to happen? I'm waiting on God's will. God's will is right in front of you today. God's will is to be filled with Jesus, to live near to him, and to, through his power inside of you, show Jesus to the world. That, if you're not doing that, you're not really living. If you're not living like Jesus, you're living for yourself. And if you're living for yourself, you are cut off from the life you were made for. Living for self has a lot of pleasure now and a lot of brokenness to follow. Living for Jesus, there's a dying to self now, but there is a joy and a glory that is so much better than anything we could try to do for ourselves, right? So God's will for my life and for your life today is to show Jesus to the world. Universal. It's not, nobody's above that. You know, I've like met people too where they're like, my calling is not really to, you know, like be with the people like that. Like, I believe like, you know, God's, I think he's gonna give me some money one day and I'll be able to just be really generous. And you know, it's like, nobody is so influential, no pastor is so famous that they're above this calling, which is to be Jesus to the world around them, to be a servant to all, to love, to prioritize others' needs above their own, to walk in holiness. It's like, this is the universal call on your life. And here's the thing, it doesn't begin later. Like a lot of times we think like, well, I'll really begin to start loving people once I am a little bit more comfortable or after I go through just a couple more years of therapy. I'm just not ready to love people yet. Maybe I'll begin to start being generous once I have a little bit more money. But until then, it's like, I gotta watch my back. Like, my back's a little against the wall right now. You know, if God blesses me in the next 10 years, I'll start being generous. It's like, no, you're not above this calling and command. The will of God for your life today is to be Jesus to the world around you. That is the only thing that will satisfy you. If you're not living that way, if you're not seeking God so he can fill you so you can live that way, you're living for yourself and it's not gonna be good. But from there, so that's the what. That's the what that applies to every single person. Nobody is above that what, to live like Jesus. But then there's other questions that follow that. The where, the to who, the when, the how. So this is what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm supposed to be loving people. I'm supposed to be serving. I'm supposed to be pouring out. I'm supposed to be forgiving. I'm supposed to be generous. But when I look at the world around me, we're in the most integrated, connected world, obviously, that's ever existed. Travel, internet, money, affluence. Like, if you look at the options that are in front of you, there's really kind of like an infinite amount of directions your life could go. And that's kind of a scary, overwhelming thought. It's like when you're trying to figure out, what am I here for? What am I really supposed to do with my life? I want to do something that's fulfilling. I want to do something that is going to honor and please God. But now I see all of these options in front of me. What am I supposed to do here? Maybe I start going this direction. But the moment I start going, I'm like, but I could have gone that direction. I start going to this church. But then it's like, what if I was supposed to be in another church? And there'd be more opportunities that would come and then whatever. What if I see this job and I get there and it's like, yeah, but there's hard things about this job. What if there were other jobs out there that are less hard and I could have just gone that direction instead? We can be tormented by the infinite amount of options that are in front of us. It's like, what if there's somebody that I like and, you know, I start talking to them, but then I start freaking out because it's like, they're great, but then they have some of these issues. And what if other people out there have less issues? And then I could be, am I ruining my life by entertaining this person that I kind of like, but I'm not sure if I really like them? It's like, there's so much uncertainty. There's infinite options in front of us. So the what of our life is very clear. But the how, the who, the where, the when, all of that, it's not very clear. There's no Bible verse that tells you what all of that specifically for your life is supposed to look like. So you can look at that and say, and this is what actually a lot of people do. I don't think God is really that concerned with the how, where, what, as long as I'm just doing the what, I'm good. As long as I'm just, you know, I want to work there. I want to do this thing. I want my life to go this direction. So as long as I'm here and I'm making sure I'm, you know, I'll tell people about Jesus here and there. I'll try to love people. I'll try to be a good person. If I do that, that's all that matters, right, God? Here's another verse I want to show you. Let's put up that next one. We are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. So that really begins to change the scope of this. The hows, the where, the who, the when, what this is saying is that before you were even born, a story of God's beautiful will was written for your life. He put you in a time, in a city, in a family. He made you a certain way because with all of those things coming together, he has a plan where he wants to do something beautiful that changes the world through your life. What it says is it was prepared for you. You know what pressure that takes off of us in life? When you're walking into these infinite options in front of you and constantly this nagging thing, what if I lived in that city instead? What if I worked at that job? What if I... God says, it doesn't matter. You don't have to walk by sight. You don't have to try to calculate and make sense of what the best possible options. You don't need an infinite long Excel spreadsheet of every pro and con and then put it through ChatGPT to tell you what you should do with your life. He's like, it doesn't even matter ultimately what things look like because often what I lead you into, it doesn't even make sense. But I've already prepared it for you and I'm not asking you to figure it out. I'm not asking you to be God. I'm God. Let me lead you into what I've prepared for you. And I already gave away the next point of what I was going to say. That was an accident. But I was about to say, so it's prepared. How do we find it? Let's put up the next verse. Romans 8:14. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. This is the beautiful truth of this verse. The Bible says that if you have put your faith in Christ, if you've received this gift of salvation, this new heart, this new life through him, that the moment you've done that, you're his child. And if you're his child, he can't not lead you. God wants to lead you more than you want him to lead him yourself. Jesus died on a cross for you so that he could be absolutely committed to leading you into his perfect will for your life. He's not indifferent to your life. He's not saying, well, I have this plan, but let's see if you can figure it out here. He's like, no, I've got you. I'm going to lead you. I'm going to show you what I made you for. Each step, I might not show you everything I have for you. I might not show you from now for the next 40 years of what your life is going to look like. I've been to some church events where people are like, God needs to give you vision. He needs to show you what your future holds. If you don't know exactly what your future holds, you're not going to be able to fight. There's no Bible verse that promises God's going to show you exactly how your future is going to play out. The only promise we have is it's going to be good and he's going to be faithful. And the promises we have is he's not going to show you maybe the whole story of how it's going to play out, but he'll show you what to do right now. When God's leading you today and you live each day living led by God, you literally can't miss his will for your life. When I'm living each step with him, how am I going to miss it, right? And what's interesting too, this verse, it says those who are led by the Spirit are the children of God. It's actually not the best translation. Other translations say those who are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. And why that distinction is important is because in ancient Israel, the son was the one who had the birthright. Sorry, ladies. But we're in America today, so it's a little different. Amen? The son was the one who got the inheritance. The son was the one who had the guarantee of the resources and the provision of the father. His estate went to the firstborn son. God, in this verse and in many other verses through the Bible, even for the ladies here, you're kind of referred to in a way as a son of God. You're a daughter of God, but the point of that language is to help you see there is no distinction. There's no grades to how God views us. If I've received Christ, I am as valuable and important to him. He's as committed to me as a father was to the firstborn son. I get the birthright. I get the inheritance. So if you are a child of God, you are the firstborn. You're in Christ, which means God has to lead you. All of that to say, he has to lead you. He's not going to not lead you. Let's put up one more verse. Proverbs 3, one of my life verses. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, every single area of our life, submit to him and he'll make your path straight. So what God is saying in this is he is interested in the details of our life. He's not indifferent. He's not just giving us check-ins every 15 years and making sure a couple big things are on track. It says, in everything, submit to him. Every path, every plot thread of your life, submit it to him, and he's going to lead you in this straight, beautiful path of his purposes in your life. He's going to lead you in what he put you on earth here to do. And that is the thing which will bring satisfaction to your soul like nothing else can in this world. He will lead you in this straight path. Here's the thing. Are the straight paths of God, they're the best? Does that mean they're easy? Nope. Does that mean they always make sense? Does that mean they always feel good? Does it mean the people around us in our life look and always think, sick, you're killing it with your life? Often it's the exact opposite. Often as I'm submitted and I'm being led by God in whatever the directions are that he could lead me, it, to the world and even to myself, it's confusing. It's like, how is this good? It's like, how is this job, which I see zero purpose in, which I hate, which my boss is horrible, my coworkers are trash, my commute is horrible. It's like, how is this what you would have for me? Some people here in this room, I've seen you work in every retail store in the city because all it takes is one bad day where you are no call, no show, and you never go back to your job again, and you don't give anybody your resumes because everywhere you've gone, you've quit in a bad way. Sorry if you feel called out. So many of us, God has this straight path. There's preparation. There's purpose. There's beautiful things God wants us to do. The what? It's like, it looks horrible because I don't see how God has called me to do the what. Like the be like Jesus. That doesn't seem as interesting to me in that space. And I have all these other things and these ideas of what I want my life to look like. I'm trying to control it. And so it just doesn't seem good. It's the straight path, but at least by sight, it doesn't look good to me. Why is it that there are many people who are Christians who have been saved, but they miss and forfeit so much of the beauty of what God had in store for their lives? I was talking to somebody today who I love, who on two separate cycles, it's almost like an annual thing. This person comes around out of living their way, doing their thing, and I try to encourage them, love them. God has done something real in their life. But as we walk together and we get a little deeper in and they're allowing God to begin to move, it ends up hitting this wall of the control that they're trying to have over their life. And they end up seeing, wait, to continue with Jesus beyond this point means to trust him for this or to let this go. And twice in 3 years over the same issue, they came, it got to this wall, ghost. Come back a year later after their life blew up. Begin to try to encourage them, point them to Jesus, walk them through whatever they need to walk through. It's going good for a second, and then the same type of issue in a different circumstance comes up. I try to challenge, say, bro, it's the same thing. Ghost. Come back a year and a half later, life blew up. Was God doing something real in his life? Absolutely. But what got in the way that caused them to forfeit this beautiful straight path that although there was challenges and pain involved, they tapped out and they missed and they invited chaos and brokenness into their life that didn't have to happen. What is it? Why can we forfeit and miss what God has for us? Put up that verse. It's still up. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, every area, not just some, not 90%, not 99%, in everything in your life, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. There is something in you and in me that hates the thought of submitting to God. There's something in me and you that hates giving up control of what we want. We might even really wholeheartedly believe, Jesus is God, he has a will for my life. Yeah, I guess it's kind of better than what I could do for myself, but when it comes down to it, and I'm up against the situation where there's this fork in the road, there is something so deep in me pushing me in the direction away from God's way. Has anyone ever experienced that in their life? Have you ever come against that thing? You think, oh, I'm following Jesus, but then it starts getting close to home. It starts getting close to the things that you love, that you find peace and fulfillment and security from. And it's like, Jesus, no, I'll give you all of this stuff. I'll give you everything over here. I can't let go of that thing. You realize, to the extent that we resist his will, to the extent that we hold on to our life, we are allowing death into our life. to the extent that we resist submission, to the extent that we resist the cross, is the extent that we are going to see brokenness come over our life. It's not an if. It's not like a, well, yeah, I feel convicted and I know that it's probably not God's will, but you know, I still think like God sees my heart and I'm going to go this way and I'm still going to go to church. I'm still going to involve him in what I'm doing, but I'm not letting this go. I'm still going to go this direction. You can try to play yourself. It's not going to work out. Because that division in your heart, that foothold you're giving to sin, that foothold you're giving to your flesh, it's not going to just stay there. What you feed grows. What you give authority to takes more authority. And when you allow your flesh and you fight against submitting to God, it's a matter of time before things really hit the fan. In all your ways, submit to him and he'll direct your path. There's something in you and something in me that God's best offer in moments seems like the worst option. There's something in us where the purposes of God seem absolutely purposeless and seem like it's only going to lead to my life falling apart and losing what I believe will bring me the most fulfillment and joy. As we go into this year, I think this is such an important word for us. Because you know what's so beautiful? When we're talking about how do you figure out God's will for your life? There's really not a formula except this. If you're submitted, he's leading you. If you're not submitted, you could play games. You could try to corner him in and say, all right, God, so there are these two guys that I have no business talking to right now. But which one do you like more, this one or that one? I feel like you like that one just a little bit more. So yeah, all right, I'll go up. All right, I'll go talk to him then. It's like, do we not do that with God? Do we not? Is that my son? Oh, he's getting spanked later. There's something in all of our hearts fighting against this perfect, glorious, beautiful will for our life. You know what, Em? I think we could, if he giggles one more time, security can call him out. Oh, that's not him? Oh, I'm sorry. That's a different baby. I won't discipline somebody else's child. All right, reel it back in. So the point that I'm trying to get to tonight, it's this. God has this will for your life. It's his best offer to you. It's so much better than anything you could ever try to put together through taking control of your life. He's not going to squeeze into your plan for your life. He's not going to co-sign what you decide. He has a will. He has a specific will for how your life plays out. And if you resist it, if you push him off, if you try to invite him your way, he's going to stop and let you go and be waiting until you come back to where you left him. Come back to the decision where you departed ways. It's like you went that way and you're like, God, where are you? He's like, I'm back here. Are you going to come? What I want to make clear tonight is the beauty of being a child of God is that if you're his child, he is not going to make it hard for you. He's not going to hide his will from you. He's not going to, he might hide the future, which is not for you to know today, but he will show you what today he's calling you to do. If you're his child, it's actually this. It's not easy to walk in God's will, but it's so simple. It's so simple. It's if you are submitted, then the Spirit of God is going to come and work in your heart and work in your circumstances. He's going to open the doors that need to be open and shut the ones that need to be shut. He'll check you when it's time to wait, and he'll push you ahead and bring confirmation when it's time to go. He'll give you peace. He'll work through all of these things, which we'll be talking more in the next week in the series, of even more practically how that looks. But God loves you so much that he's not going to withhold leading you into what you were made for. So the issue is not him holding out. The issue is in me and you. Submit to him and he'll direct your path. My prayer for us as a community is that going into this next year, we don't have this restless conscience where we know we are not trusting God for certain areas of our life, where we know we're kind of living like we're God and trying to squeeze him into our plans and our agendas, and that we just keep coming to church, keep going through business as usual, hoping that God will finally give up and follow us in our plans. He's not. And I pray that tonight actually is a night that this truth comes and breaks something in your heart, where you see that this resisting of God's will, this refusal to trust him, this trying to hold on to things that he's convicted you about, that he's shown you, this is not what I have for you. But because we're struggling to trust him, because his way looks way worse than what we want for ourselves, we just keep resisting, but still trying to spiritualize our rebellion against God. I believe tonight, God wants to give us an opportunity to receive his grace to surrender. Here's the beautiful thing. In the old covenant, before Jesus, their issue was that they couldn't get themselves to surrender. They couldn't get themselves to stop loving the world. God had a very fair deal with them. Just love me, choose me, don't turn to other things, and I'm gonna give you everything you could possibly need. Just don't cheat on me. Just stay connected to me and surrender to me. And time again, it just kept going the same direction. They wouldn't stop. They couldn't surrender. They couldn't get their hearts to actually turn to God instead of their own way. Can I tell you the beauty of what's being offered to you tonight in Jesus? Jesus came to save you because you can't get yourself to surrender. Here's God's plan for your life. It's so much better than what you could try to do for yourself. But you can't let go of your plan because it doesn't matter what God tells you, you don't believe his way is better than yours. You don't want him to be God. You want to live like you're the God of your life. I want to live like I'm the God of my life. We're stuck with hearts that refuse to submit and surrender to God. And that's why Jesus had to come. Jesus was the perfect suffering servant. He walked in perfect obedience to the will of the Father. He didn't fail in any way. He walked in perfect submission, even to the cross. He was looking at a cross before him and said, "Even so, not my will, but yours be done." Do you realize tonight that the gift that God wants to give you this year is freedom from trying to surrender just in your own strength? Freedom from trying to make yourself this person who has godly desires. You're not gonna find in your heart the love for God and the hatred for the world needed to really live this thing out. And that's why Jesus came to save you and I. What Jesus offers us tonight, and we can begin to play right now, is when you look at his life, you see this life walking in perfect submission to the will of the Father, dying to all control of the pleasures and desires of this world, finding his life in the Father alone. He came and did perfectly what we never could do, and now he wants to come and do it through you. Are you struggling tonight? Do you hear this? And is something in your heart already fighting where you're like, "Yes, I know God has a will. It's better. I just don't want it. I can't get myself to choose it. I'm trying and I'm just coming against this wall in my heart in certain areas. I kind of want him, but clearly the part of me that doesn't want him in these areas of my life is way stronger and I can't change it." You're right. You can't. If you could, you wouldn't need Jesus in the first place. Jesus wants to tonight, if you own what's in your heart, if you own and say, "God, I'm stuck because in the end of the day, I actually want other things more than you." God isn't looking and saying, "Well, let's see if you can get yourself to want me." He's saying, "Just, do you see where you are? I want you to see where you are. I want to see how stuck you are. I want to see that even if you believe that this is true, you know you can't get yourself to fully do it and what that means for the trajectory of your life. It's not going to be good. You're holding on to your life. It's not going in a good direction. You're going to miss this straight, beautiful, glorious plan that I have for you. You see you're missing it, but do you also see you can't get yourself to do this? That's why I'm here for you. That is what I've come to save you from. If you confess your sin, if you own and say, "Lord, forgive me, within my heart, there is so much resistance to submitting to you. There's so much of me just trying to hold on, but you came to save me from it. Jesus, tonight, I bring this to you. Now, God, I submit, help me to submit. Give me the heart of Jesus. Give me your desires. Give me your outlook over my life. Save me from my sinful heart. I repent tonight. I own my sin and I give it to you. Save me from getting in the way of your will for my life. God's will for your life, nobody in this world can stop it. The devil can't get in the way of God's will for your life. Your family, people in your job that are coming against you that aren't giving you opportunities or whatever. You can make all of these things and say, I feel like this is gonna stop this plan of hope, what I'm hoping to see play out in my life. None of that can stop it. The only thing that can stop God's will for your life is yourself. And tonight, Jesus wants to save you from yourself in a new way. So let's do this. Ben, can we come up? Can we just close our eyes right now? I think this is the best way we could start the beginning of this year. Do you see resistance to areas of God's will in your life? Are you fighting trusting him? Is he speaking and you're trying to cover your ears because you don't want to hear him pull you away from what you love in this world? You need to see tonight how stuck you are in that. You need to see that's not something you can change. You need to see the trajectory that that's going to lead you on. And you need to see tonight, Jesus loves you so much that he wants to save you from your own stubborn heart. He wants to give you the heart of Christ, a heart submitted to his will, a heart that loves what he made you to love. I thank God years ago that what I'm preaching tonight, he did in me. If I saw where my life is right now, 10 years ago, I would have hated where this ended up going. Today, I wouldn't trade my life with a single person on earth. Because as I've trusted God and he's led me into what he's made me for, his will is the nourishment of my soul. And tonight, God wants to free you from the things holding you back, to take the steps of faith into his purposes for your life. He is gonna do it through you as you trust him. He's gonna help you, but you now have to own your sin and say, God, forgive me, save me. I receive now what you, I receive a submitted, obedient heart. Help me to go into 2025 submitted to your will so I don't miss a single good thing that you wanna do in and through my life. It doesn't matter if it doesn't seem like there's purpose in it. It doesn't matter if it seems like a step back. I don't care, God, what it looks like because my life is in your hands and I'm gonna trust you by your grace and by your spirit. If tonight, let's all stand up right now. If tonight the Holy Spirit is convicting you and you say, Lord, forgive me and help me. I want to go into this year now submitted and walking in your purposes for my life. Just come to the front right now. Come out of your seat. Come to the altar. We're about to pray and sing this song together. But come as just a step of faith to the Lord and say, God, I'm responding to your conviction in my heart. I don't want to push it off. I don't want to act like I'm not hearing it. I see there's things you're calling me to do, steps to take. Maybe there's not even steps to take, but it's just my heart has to let go of things. God, I am coming before you tonight so I can receive your power, so I can receive your heart. If you've come to the front, lift your hands to the Lord right now. Fix your eyes on Jesus. He is your Savior. You can't save yourself. Only he can, but he wants to. He's knocking at the door of your heart. He's waiting and saying, if you trust me, if you own your sin, if you allow me to come and do what I'm promising to do, you have no idea what I'm about to come and do in your life. I'm gonna transform you and lead you into what I made you for. We're gonna begin to sing this right now, but as we sing this with your hands lifted high, say, Jesus, forgive me. Give me your heart, give me your spirit. I believe, help me to trust you more. Let's begin to sing right now.
We hope you were encouraged by today's message. To connect with us, visit our ministry page at brooklyntabernacle.org, or you can follow us on our Instagram at sanctusnyc.